Radharasudha Niti, verse 175, continuing. We're discussing yesterday about three intimate sevas that the fortunate Manjari has the opportunity to render on the inside the kunja directly after Radha and Krishna completed their most intimate and fulfilling exchanges. And at that particular necessary time, the Manjaris will render the vital service of collecting and gathering Radharani's hair and rebraiding it so she looks very smart and pretty, and collecting all the pearls that have been scattered here and there in the kunja from her broken pearl necklace, and expertly restringing that necklace with her agile, nimble, quick, and expert little Manjari fingers of a 12-year-old girl. And then the third service is applying the Kasturi Bindu Tilak. When we discussed these three personal services, we mentioned how these are all sevas. He's a flies away. Somehow. That's so nice. Three personal services that the Manjari renders with her fingers, hands, working senses, karmendriya, to be technical. And we're discussing some of the details of Kasturi Tilakam, which is line 3. Kadava Kasturiyas Tilakam Api Bhuyo Rachayata. And we're mentioning how Krishna, Radharani, wears this Kasturi Tilak applied by her faithful, loyal, and expert maidservant for various purposes to signify that Krishna belongs to her because she has possession, full possession over Krishna. Copyright Srimati Radharani, all rights reserved. Copyright 240 years ago, Krishna was copyrighted by Radharani. Just, it's a joke. At any rate, not so good either. But the idea is that Radharani feels that way and Krishna submits to that, and he's fully controlled by Premvashibhut. Premvashibhut Radharani, this is her Pachis Gun, her 25th outstanding and sterling superlative quality of Radharani. As she fully controls Krishna by her unlimited, ever-expansive, ever-new and fresh offering of her loving presence. So we concluded yesterday's class, or we left it on hanging, about the fragrance of Krishna's body is one reason why Radharani wears Kasturi Tilak, because it is black to announce to everyone that that black boy, that beautiful black Shamsundar, Ghanasham, he belongs to me and I belong to him. And I've conquered him, so I'm putting his color on my forehead like a victory flag raised above a castle. When you conquer an enemy king, you raise your flag above his castle to proclaim throughout the valley and all the surrounding areas. Everyone looks, oh, that is not the coat of armor. That is not the distinguishing signs of our king, because he was deposed or defeated by another king. And then we said that it reminds Radharani of Krishna's body. Not only color, but fragrance. Gandha, suganda. Krishna smells beautifully in all parts of his body, and the specific details of which the navel smells one way, the arms smell one way, the chest, the back. It's all described in Govinda Lilamrita. I can't recall exactly. But in general, it's described that Krishna's divine form resembles, although it's transcendental and incomparable. It's what they call Atulya Suganda. It's incomparable fragrance of his body. Krishna's body, divine form, is somewhat like musk, what we call musk or kasturi, and aguru, Aguru, and Chandan and Kapoor, Sandalwood and Kapoor. And so I ended on a question. I said, why, which I'll ask again and answer, why does Krishna's body smell like these four fragrances? Why does Krishna's body smell like musk and aguru, chandan and kapoor? Because, like everything Krishna does, it's perfect. Om Purnamidam Purnamidam Purnamadachite. Krishna is perfect. Everything about him is perfect. His name is perfect. His leelas are perfect. His dham is perfect. Everything about Krishna is perfect, and anyone who contacts Krishna becomes perfect. Whatever imperfection we have within us becomes removed by contact with the perfect holy dham of Vrindavan and the perfect holy name Krishna and the perfect devotee Radha and the perfect engagement Krishna's seva. Om Purnamadam Purnamidam Purnamadam Dachite. So his fragrances, there's four basic ones. They're a perfect balance, because two of these fragrances are heating and have particular effect on Krishna and others that contact Krishna, and two of Krishna's bodily fragrances are cooling. So the two fragrances are two gandhas, ganda, sugandhi, to make Krishna, two of them are heating and two of them are cooling, because these are the two opposites we have in this world. And something in between, heating and cooling. So Krishna's body smells like aguru and kasturi, or musk. And these are heating. These are heating aromas, heating fragrances, and heating oils. Specifically, they are considered to be stimulating and enchanting and maddening. And these particular oils are very costly in then and now. They're very rare, dear, and costly. Aguru and kasturi are known to be have an aphrodisiac effect, which means they stimulate the partner with desires, interested desires, let's say, attraction. So if you want to buy aguru oil, which is highly purchased by those people that sell oil, because they have a lot of money, and 10 grams of that oil cost 80,000 rupees. You know, those little bottles you offer the deities. So if you want to become enchanting, it's costly. Better just blink your eye and smile. Women just blink their eye and smile. It's a lot cheaper. It does the trick. You're all married, or you were, or will be, or don't want to be, or want to be. or pray never to be again. Either one. These are the five or six options open. And so Krishna, he's got it all. And he knows exactly what to put on his body to accomplish his purposes, let's say. And two of his oils are cooling, because after all that heating up and all those enchanting and romantic activities, you need to cool down your radiator and cool down your engine. So then his body also smells like camphor and sandalwood. So this is the perfect balance. Two of his natural bodily fragrances are stimulating, heating, and enchanting and captivating. And the other two, obviously, anyone can figure that out. But the other two are cooling, pacifying, and relaxing. It's amazing. Everything about Krishna is totally vidagdha. Amazing and clever and chamatkar. It's wonderful. You're with Krishna and you embrace Krishna. And then at that time you smell all these stimulating, enchanting fragrances, and which induces you and induces Krishna to go on further and further in loving intimacies of various variegated exchanges. Then afterwards, when you want to relax or just ride the mellow after the glorious engagement, then this, then Krishna's body, it increases this natural emanation of this sandalwood and camphor. It's really quite an amazing point to meditate on, and in different circumstances, and how they work, and how Krishna, everything about Krishna's body is for pleasing Radharani and satisfying Radharani and all the gopis, and ultimately all the sadhakas and all the devotees. Because we're enchanted and captivated by Krishna's holy name. Every one of us here has been trapped by this sound of Krishna. Krishna has sound, and he has form, and he has touch and taste. And so sound and taste have pretty much captivated us quite a bit. Anyone heard of Jagannath Mahaprasadam? Or Radharaman Mahaprasadam? Or Radhasham Sundar's Burfi? Or like Sandesh? Very rare. And you can go all over Delhi, you won't find Sandesh. It's not available. That particular sweet, which is so common in ISKCON temples, this is Bengali sweet, but it's difficult to make, and it requires all pure ingredients. You can't adulterate it and fake it out with something else. So if you ever want Sandesh, the only place you can get it in Vrindavan is at Krishna Balaram temple, by the way. What to speak of Burfi. What they call Burfi in all the shops is something different. You can figure out what it is when you taste it. So so that's why Radharani wears Kasturi Tilak, to remind her of Krishna and to remember the fragrance of Krishna's body, because we all know, and it's not less with them, it's even more with Radha and Krishna, that particular sense experiences, they open up memories, and they open up reminiscences, pleasant or unpleasant, sense or taste. Like someone may cook something and then they give it to you and say, oh, what is this? And oh, that's because it reminds you of bygone days when you ate Italian food 40 years ago, and there's rosemary and thyme or whatever all they use in those things, oregano, I think. And then, oh, just that taste and smell takes your memory to the whole place and the whole thing. So Radharani, when she smells this Kasturi Tilak on her forehead, so adeptly and perfectly applied by her attentive, loving Manjari, then she drifts off into sweet reverie. Shamsundar, Ghanasham. And then she remembers him in different circumstances and places, and everything is so wonderful about the ornamentation and shringar and decoration of Radharani. So it appears on the surface, verse 175 of Radharasura Nityas. It's very matter of fact. It's what's the big deal? But the big deal is everything inside and what it represents and what it means. Three names are not very significant. Hare, Krishna, and Ram. Millions of Indians have these names, or at least Ram and Krishna. And some, not very often, but some ladies are called Hara or whatever. Hara, thinking that they're named after Durga or something. Shakti. But then what is the meaning? What is the mantra art? The meaning behind these names? And what is the lila? And what does it represent? And then it becomes oceanic and expands in so many directions. So the same thing, it seems like here's someone receiving service, here's someone doing service, here's the three services. Braid my hair, restring my necklace, put on my tilak. Well, what's the big deal? Every day we put on tilak, every day we brush, well, not me, but some people brush their hair, and every day some ladies, whatever, they put on some necklace or maybe string a garland. So what? But when you hear some very limited understanding or view of it, of the unlimited nature of all these things, then you say, wow, it really, there's a lot going on here. You know, when the Mundri, what she, because we say, it's what, it's the backing of what you're doing. It's what's behind. If it's just blank mind, behind that chanting is a blank mind and a blank heart and a blank memory, then it's what they call blanks. In track, the guy has a gun, looks like a gun, and it's a real gun, 45, 38 mm, but it just has shells and no bullet. There's a shell with a cap and gunpowder. And you put a bullet on it, then you better run and hide. Well, it just has a cap, everything but the bullet. The bullet is the part that kills you. And the cap and the gunpowder is the part that makes the noise. Boom. So they just go boom and everyone runs. So it's the backing, what's behind it. It's a blank shot. They called it a blank shot. So we're chanting, we're shooting blank shots. Hare, pow, Hare Krishna, pow, Krishna, pow, pow. But we're not, don't mind, I'm in Vishaka's party. She's a joker. So it comes in our family. I often make the joke that everyone in America is born with one funny bone, but I'm born with two. You know, this thing, if you hit it, make you, oh, it hurts like anything if you hit this corner of your elbow. Actually, everybody has two, but it's a joke. So this is shooting blanks. They're not hitting the target. They're not hitting the heart of Krishna. What is the target of our chanting of Krishna's name? It's Krishna's heart. We want to awaken his heart, attract his heart, melt his heart, bring his heart to our heart, merge our heart in Krishna's heart. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, shopping list. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, oh husband, Hare Krishna, Hare wife. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, oh this is what he said. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, she said that. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And so many other things, so many blanks. So that everything we're doing, putting on tilak, and then we're thinking, oh, this is wonderful. Radharani is going to remember Krishna. And so many things will come. So I'm just saying, what I'm saying is we have to expand our mind and expand our heart, and expand our minds and our hearts and our memories and our intelligence. And with that expansion, wrap it around and package everything that we offer to Krishna with that. Like you have a present, have some small gift and you put it in a box and you wrap it. So many coverings. And inside is the essence. But also the packaging is important, how attractive it is, how colorful it is, how the design. It's also contributive to the overall effect of receiving the gift. Oh, here's a gift. Oh, it's so boring. But if it's in a box and a little card hanging on it, I love you, and this, that, whatever. So it's the way of doing it. So that's the whole thing with our service, that this one verse is, like any verse, is how deep can you go? Because how deep is the ocean? They say that as you can't reach the top of the highest mountains and you can't reach the bottom of the deepest oceans. So the ocean of Radha Govinda's Leelas is fathomless, is the common word that's used, fathomless. You can't reach the bottom. And often our acharyas, I mean especially the books that are most in our hands, are presented to us with the comments of Srila Natadas Babaji Maharaj and Srila Waitadas Maharaj's translations, which are opening up this whole ocean. And one principle that we find in the Sanskrit itself, and more elaborated in the Tikas, is that one can appreciate, one means us, sadhaka. The sadhaka or devotee can appreciate Radha and Krishna, their names and their, especially their pastimes, depending on the depth and degree of his love. How beautiful Krishna looks, or how beautiful and chanting his pastimes are, depends on how beautiful your heart is, and how much love is in your heart. And then that's how much you can appreciate and enter into the leelas. They say it takes one to know one. So it means that the more, in other words, the Bhava Bhakta, who's on the threshold of prema, it's only a matter of a touch more of grace. Because it's only by grace that one reaches bhava, then another touch of grace that expands shortly later into prema. They, of course, the premi bhaktas, can relish and be involved and absorbed in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna much more than someone like ourselves who is so far from prema. What to speak of the actual Nitya Parishads of Radha and Krishna, the mandris. We're aspiring to become one with the love of Radharani. We're aspiring to become one with the mind of Radharani. We're aspiring to become one with the heart of Radharani. We're aspiring to become one with the mood of Radharani. That means, as they say in English, I mean in India, that means what is a manjari. That is the meaning of being a manjari. This oneness. I mean, it's a chintya-veda, veda-tattva, simultaneously, inconceivably, one and different, obviously. Radharani is Radharani, and the manjari sevite, this Gingari maidservant, is obviously a different personality. But in bhav, and in prem, and in seva, and mood, the mantras are one. So these types of feelings, they develop as one advances. And I'm just pointing it that direction for all of us to be reminded of. So by color and fragrance, Radharani's Kasturi Tilak always reminds Radha of her beloved Pran, her Praneshwara Priyatam Sham. And the fortunate Manjari gets the seva of reapplying this very, very important Kasturi Tilak on Radharani's forehead after it has melted away during the heat of Yugal's love encounters. So that's the conclusion of line 3, and this is line 4. Of verse 175. Nikunjantar vrte navarati rane yavatamane. That yavatamane, Radha, that jewel of teenagers, that beautiful crest jewel of all young teenage girls, she's 14. She is telling here that she's navarati rane. She's Vritte. Says, when can I, after she's concluded her erotic pastimes, antar, of course, means inside a Nikunja. So here in this verse, it tells the place of the seva. Where is this going on? Is it on the terrace? Because in the previous verse, we discussed about fanning Radharani. They were on the veranda, Alinde Kalindi, Navalata Mandir, on the Alinde, on the veranda of the kunja made of creepers or latas. They had come outside, so they were outside. But here they're inside, antar, the kunja antar. So there is the mandri. She's right there. Now we know who and what my analysis questions. Who's acting here in this verse? Why are they acting? Because that's their seva, and it's Radha and Krishna. And where is the question? And when? It was not conclusive. We discussed when could be Ratri Leela, or it could be Madhyan Leela, these type of pastimes, and sevas. So where? It's not telling. The previous verse said, Kalindi Kule Kalindi. On the banks of the Yamuna. So it said very specifically, on the banks of the Yamuna, on the veranda of a bower house made of creepers, my service was rendered there. And here it's saying, oh, where will I render this service? Where am I meditating when I read this verse? Where am I directed to? Where am I being directed to? What location, what direction, what place? And we're not told specifically, but we are told that it's inside a kunja, Nikunjantar. Nikunjantar, Vrte Navarati, Rane Yavatamane. And in that kunj, as in old days in the palaces were illuminated by inset jewels inset in the columns. They'd be stone columns in Dwarka, but inset in those columns were so many jewels. This is what the proverbial glory of India that they often talk about. And it's hard to understand, it's a fact, but actually, historically, hundreds and even thousands of years ago, And all the Earth planet, all the available countries that we know of in this world of Earth, India, now its glory is long gone, but was once a vast reservoir of unlimited amount of gold in the land, an unlimited amount of jewels in the deserts and the oceans and the beaches in the earth. So many jewels and so much gold and so much variety of food. India, if you compare India historically with the agricultural production and mining and jewels and food and cloth and clothes and culture and music, it far surpasses practically all the countries put together. I'm not boasting the glories of India, but it's an objective fact. Because you compare India to other countries, say Germany, not by modern standards, but by the standards of varieties of food, varieties of spices, varieties of sabjis. You go down the list, varieties of food, cloth, sabjis, spices, herbs, medicines, jewels, gems, gold. Some countries don't have any gold in the land at all. They don't have any jewels at all. And they only have a couple potatoes, cabbage, apples, and rye or wheat. They have like 5 or 6 foodstuffs produced in the whole country. These are facts. So India was so grand and glorious. So that's why everywhere around the world they were attacking India, the Portuguese, the French, the British, the Mughals, anyone who had any power to attack and had any interest in finery and art and gold and jewels and gems, they came to India. If they knew how to sail boats and they had any kind of sailors and armies and navies. So India's been ripped off by most of the countries around the world. Why? Because all these countries of the world, the kings and queens and rulers, they wanted what India had or has. So therefore, the columns were inset with so many jewels, and that's how everyone found their way around. There was no electricity bills and no wiring. Columns would light up where you wanted light. You put all kinds of yellow sapphires and diamonds. Then all the hallways were lit up. But in the bedroom, the columns would only have moonstone or other types of jewels inside, so you have very soft light. The intensity of the light in various rooms and hallways and passageways was determined by what kind of jewels were in the columns or in the ceiling, or they have indirect lighting in the ceiling. The jewels... There's something called Suryakant money. The Suryakant. Kant means Kanti. Taptakanchana, the Radharani's Kanti. So they reflect the light of the sun. They absorb the sun and they give that off. Oh, this is so grand. So I don't know what I'm saying, but somehow I got off on that. But we're supposed to be inside the kunja. Oh yeah, Yovata money. That Radharani is the youthful jewel. So as in Dwarka, the hallways were lit up by all the radiance and light coming off the jeweled columns. Inside the kunja, the Manjari can see what she's doing. Because when you put on your makeup, you need a cosmetic mirror in the old days. Now everyone does everything in the back seat of the car. Everyone puts on their makeup. In the back seat, all the ladies put on makeup in the back seat of the car on the way to the work, with their cell phone light and a mirror or something. In the old days, they have a dressing table with lights and a mirror, and they had lots of time. Ladies had lots of time to decorate themselves and lights on the side and see all sides. But now we're so advanced and we have so much technology and so much rapid communication and highways, we have no time. We had to brush hair in the car, put in lipstick, put everything in the car. Everything's become totally mad and absurd and ridiculous in modern age. Totally correct. So now the Manjari is putting on this makeup in Radharani, and it's daytime at Radhika, and so there's not much problem with light, but kunjas are quite dark inside. But Yavatamani. That is why it's being told there. Radharani is called the jewel-like teenager, Nikunja Antar. Inside that kunja is natural lighting. What is the lighting? Well, there's lots of lighting there. There's Radharani's toenails radiating light. There's Radharani's fingernails radiating light. And then there's her twinkling eyes are radiating light. And Krishna and her lavanya rupam, and the natural radiance of her entire form is radiating light. So her whole being is a jewel of light and radiance. So the Manjari doesn't have any problem seeing Radharani's face and applying the Kasturi Tilak. So where we're found out that this is the Leela Stali. And who's there? We have already described that who's there is there's three of us. Radha, Shyam, and me. Or you. Depends on, you have your Giriraj, I have my Giriraj. So you do your meditation and your me is you and my me is me. Radha and Krishna are the same for both. So this is somehow or other, I wrote, I am there by the mercy. By mercy alone, I'm there with the jewel of Braj's young girls, Yavatamani Sri Radha. Krishna, Radha, and I are all there together inside the Nikunj. It's a beautiful picture. Nikunjanta Vrite Nav. Nikunjanta Vrite Navarati Rane Yavatamani. There's this jewel. Now she's so much Lavanya automatically, Radharani is so much shining. And everyone knows when they feel healthy, they feel happy, and what to speak of your ecstasy, you really radiate. You really radiate. They say the glow of health. There's the glow of health, there's the glow of meditation, there's the glow of the glow, I mean like jyoti, glow, radiance. The glow of health, the glow of meditation, and there's the glow of love, which is the ultimate radiance. So when someone's in love, or they, what to speak of, at that pinnacle of loving exchanges, and right after, within moments after that, the mantra is right there. Welcome, swagatam. You're certainly welcome. Seva karo. So Radharani doesn't think, oh, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? Why do you get out of here? This is, get lost. There's no place for you. Little sister, Jao, is not like that. Oh, because I am me, and my shadow is me also. My chaya, my shadow. I don't curse my shadow. Hey, shadow, get lost. And if you do, you might get locked up. I think you're crazy. You walk down the street talking to your shadow, you might be in trouble. So the mantras are like Radharani's shadow. And so you don't jump if you see your shadow. Oh, what's that? So Radharani is quite at ease with her mantras. She's quite at ease and relaxed. As I mentioned earlier, Paryanka Stapitam Vastra Vachaditam. It says Quachit. Quachit means sometimes. Sometimes Radharani sits me on the bed. Paryanka Stapitam. She places me or fixes me, sits me on the bed and pulls me under the covers with her and Krishna. This is Radharasa Sudaniti. Now, if that isn't the ultimate of intimacies, at the ultimate of intimate moments, nothing is. You sit your little sister on the bed when you're with your lover and pull her under the bed and cover her with the covers, cover your little sister and you and your lover. This is definitely only in the spiritual world. Never, ever happened before in the material world. Doesn't happen now and never, never will happen in the future. That's why it's, wow, what is this? This is special. This is special mercy for mantris. Subal and Sridham, although they may be in this Priyanarma Sakha category of assisting and nourishing Krishna's Madhurya Leelas with the gopis, to some extent and very intimate extent, not to that extent, no matter how glorious and grand it is to be a Priyanarma Sakha of Krishna, like Subal and Sridham, they won't go, they can't go that far. No thanks. Application denied. They can't enter. So this is intimacy, Nikunjantar. There they are. Where are you? You're right there. Just after the Radha Krishna's conjugal intimacies, the divine playful pair are relaxing, and I am serving them so closely, so intimately. Nikunja antar vritti. So this is a very beautiful verse, and our commentators have given us a lila to cement these beautiful sevas in our mind for time eternity. Because we like stories, we like lilas, we're Kali Yuga people, we like stories. So this is a story behind these sevas to give it all a full shape, a full picture. As they say, a picture is worth a thousand words. You see a beautiful painting, maybe conveying a particular lila that you could never really describe, but as you look at that painting of Krishna's lila with Radha, your own heart and mind will give unlimited descriptions, which are much more satisfying than anyone could tell you if they were to describe what's being depicted in that painting before your eyes. So this is the attempt of the merciful, benign commentators to bring us deep into the realm of memory and Lila Smaran, which is the very sum and substance of Raghunuga Bhakti, Smaran, Lila Smaran and Seva. So we've heard about the Sevas and the particulars of the Seva. Now let's just sit back and think that we're in our Manjari Sroop and we're right there, because there is now. Now is eternal. Every pastime of Krishna is eternally happening. Every movement of Krishna is eternally happening in some realm, because Krishna is eternal. And everything he does is eternal. There's no past, there's no past tense. It's ever-present, eternal present. Every second of Krishna's lila, every movement of Krishna is eternally present. Obviously, this is extremely inconceivable and ungraspable. That's such a word. But can't be held on to by our limited minds. One acharya once said that using our material minds to understand transcendence, Krishna, is like trying to sit down an elephant on a tea saucer, on a little tali, like they have underneath a cup, you have a little tali, trying to accommodate an elephant on a saucer. It's not going to work. This elephant is huge. So transcendence is too big for our minds to accommodate. So we have to Sharanagati, Prabhu. Sharanagati, Sharanagati. Oh, Prabhu, oh Krishna, I surrender. Only by surrender. And the prayers of Lord Brahma, Brahma Stuti in 14th chapter, 10th canto, he said, Jnane prayasam urapasya namanta eva. He said, by my knowledge, my gyan, and my speculation, I can never understand you, Krishna. I never will understand you, but somehow you allow me to become bewildered by you. In your small little form as a six-year-old boy, I become totally Brahmavimohan, completely, absolutely bewildered, befuddled, and confused by what I'm seeing. Wait a minute. I took all the coward boys and put them in a cave and left Krishna alone on the banks of Yamuna. And I go and I look in the cave, they're all there. And then I come to the banks of Yamuna, and I see all the same coward boys. They're still here playing with Krishna. Are these the same boys that I stole? Or are these different ones, and the ones in the cave are the ones I stole? Or he went back and forth, he couldn't figure out. Because what it was is the boys never left Krishna. And those were Maya Sitas. Those were just Maya replicas in the cave. And Krishna was right there with all the cowboy boys. Because Brahma can't touch the coward boys, because he's a materialistic person. And coward boys are totally transcendental. Just as Ravana could not touch Sita. He took the Maya Sita, it's described in Korma Purana, that Agnidev is, of course, the great Vaishnava. He's a Sura, he's a Deva. He's a Sura, not a Asura. He's a Devata, a Bhakta, Vishnu Bhakta, Agnidev, one of the primordial lords of the world, the lord of fire. And when he saw this Lakshman Rekha, this ring of fire that was set up by Lakshman before he went out to assist Ram and his whatever fight with that magician, Marichi, or whatever it was, Golden Deer or whatever. Then soon as the real Sita stepped across the Lakshman Rekha, the circle of fire created by the mystic power of Lakshman, then Agni took her to his kingdom and made a duplicate Sita that the sannyasi disguised Ravana grabbed and flew off into the sky with his mystic powers, and thinking that he had Sita. So in the same way, Brahma didn't actually take the real coward boys. That's Krishna is eternally playing with the coward boys. If someone steals your coward boys, the play is finished. There's a beginning and an end, a stop. It doesn't stop. How can it stop? That's why he bewildered Krishna bewildered Brahma by showing these forearm forms. Are these coward boys? Are these Vishnu Roops? Hey, Bhagavan, I don't know what to do except I'll pray. So whole chapter 14 is Brahma Stuti. I don't know who you are, I can't figure it out, but I surrender. So this is Leela. We have to surrender, then we can enter the Leela. As Radha's Manjari, you are admiring the beauty of the ever-fresh, amorous battle of Yugal Kishore. As you're looking through the... That's a very common phrase. There's a lot of peeping manjaris. Peeping through the technical word, if you want to get technical, is interstitches. The interstitches in the walls of the kunja. And the little holes between the vines. Yep. So you're seeing, but you can't be seen. Like a two-way mirror or something. They have those glass you can see, whatever. Can see out, but no one can see in. So you're admiring that, and your eyes are like fish swimming in the ocean. Your eyes are blissfully swimming in the ocean of these leelas. Afterwards, seeing that Kishore Yamani Radha is victorious in the erotic battle, Vritte Navarati Rane, the maidservant, of course, feels very proud. Jai Shri. Just like a jewel, the beauty of adolescent Radha is ever fresh and imperishable. And Radha's youthful beauty makes the erotic battle also ever fresh, which means it's always eternally new and expanding in newer ways. Now Radha and Krishna's erotic battle is finished and the young couple are sitting on their playbed. Understanding this, the Manjari enters the kunja, and while Krishna is personally redressing Radharani, a Swamini's hair, which was loosened during their erotic battle. Radha's pearl necklace was broken, her sweat drops were washed away. The musk tilak, her sweat drops washed away, the musk tilak on her forehead, and her ornaments were all disarranged. The maidservant is in great ecstasy when she sees the sweet form of a victorious Swamini. It's like the queen seeing her king return from battle, and he's smiling, and he's got some blood on his shoulder and perspiring and some dust and mud on him, and he's holding his sword in his hand. And because if he's coming back alive, that means he's victorious. And he'll bring back so much gold and jewels and silk and so many gifts for the queen. So he walks into the palace and with all the signs of the war and the battle that he was victorious. And of course he gets a big hug and a kiss from the queen also. My hero. So the Mandris are feeling, they're identifying with Radharani, Swamini, Ishri, Radha, Swamini, Radha. Our hero, Radharani. We're very proud of you. This is the Bhav. What is Gopi Bhav? This is Gopi Bhav. The maidservants are in ecstasy, seeing that Radharani is victorious. The lovers are breathing deeply and staring in each other's eyes. Sweetness streams from their limbs. First, the maidservant fans Radha Madhav's perspiration to dry their bodies. Then she serves them water and betel leaves. Then she rearranges Radharani's loosened hair and twines her braid with a fresh jasmine garland. And she collects the pearls from Radha's necklace that were strewn all over the kunj after Shyam broke it during their love sports and restrings it. And she applies fresh tilak of musk on Swamini's forehead to replace the tilak washed away by her profuse perspiration. In these wonderful, intimate ways, the supremely fortunate Manjari serves her Praneshri Sri Radha. So this is a beautiful glimpse into the spiritual world, the dynamic, blissful, intimate, inconceivably intimate and personal world of seva, loving seva and reciprocation with Radha and Krishna and the topmost possible ecstasy and sthairati of madhurati. And although it's never ever been given before for millions of years, charam charat, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given this, come in this age, knowing full well where this age would go and what direction the men and women of this age would go to and what would become the mainstay of their very lives and everyone this age is, as everyone knows too well, is totally preoccupied with man-woman exchanges and intimacies. It's nothing else in anyone's mind practically. So in materially, this is considered a very degraded mentality to always be thinking of enjoying these type of man-woman engagements. So here, the Gaudiya Vaishnavism, Lord Chaitanya came, Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate. Come out of all this. This is iron. This is all black. Come to the golden realm. And there's a very analogy as used by Krishna's Kaviraj, man-woman dealings and what to speak of. You know, we hear even in Vrindavan there are men that are having men or ladies, whatever, multiple relationships, intimate relationships without any marriage, and very common event outside of Vrindavan in big cities around the world, no doubt, becoming more and more common even in India, but in Vrindavan no less, that's really the ultimate end. And going on, it's obviously the height of degradation. But in the middle of this age, of all ages, when things are most degraded in that particular category of men and women, Lord Chaitanya has come to give the most intimate type of devotion, most intimate type of sadhana, most intimate type of meditation. It's really inconceivable. How and why? And because Krishna realizes, and Gauranga, of course, is Krishna, that only this and nothing short of this will take one out of that. Only by embracing the golden avatar, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, embracing the golden avatar and taking up his golden path of Manjari Sri Bhajan and Raghunuga Bhakti, will one ever get out of this dark, dark, iron-like age of Kali. It's the age of Kali. It's totally black. And Krishna's Kaviraj and Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says that this prema, this ujvala prema, this shringha rati, this erotic loving relationship, it's erotic, it's eroticism. We basically, as I mentioned, one of the first classes, Gaudiya Vaishnava is a worshipper of eroticism. What? No, we go to church on Sunday and we open our book and we say the mass and we say prayers. We give 50 rupees and we come home. Watch TV and go to the football game, and it's nice. But this is not Gaudiya Dharma, Gaudiya Vaishnava Dharma. It's something inexplicable, it's very mysterious, very secret, very rare, and inaccessible to practically everyone in this world. Somehow, some or other, the most fallen Jagai and Madais around the world, not everyone, of course, not speaking of many people here, but many fallen Jagais and Madais, very degraded ladies and gentlemen, have somehow been attracted to Gauranga's mercy. And Krishna's Kaviraj says, this prema is like gold. And this love, so-called material love, man-woman love, lust, whatever you want to call it, as grand and glorious and moral and legal and dharmic it may be, is still, which is good, of course, which is still nothing but iron. It's simply not very valuable and not very desirable. Everyone would rather have gold than iron. So as they say, we're trying for the gold. Go for the gold. Gold medal. That's first place, I think, in the Olympics. You get the gold medal, then silver, copper, or something. So we're going for the gold by the mercy of the golden avatar. He came to teach. He's a prem avatar. What prem? What type of prem? Oh, the love of Gopal for Yashoda. It's so nice. No, sorry. Lord Chaitanya, the golden avatar who came, the prem avatar, he's prem for Yashoda. He came to give eroticism, divine eroticism. Whoosh, don't be quiet. This is a fact. If you go this, you know, go a little bit deep, you know, for 5 seconds, what type of immorality is this? What is this religion you've gotten into? Do you know what you've gotten into? It's highly dangerous. It is dangerous because that's why I say razor's edge. This is the ultimate meaning of razor's edge. Not that you go on book distribution and you're distributing books on the streets in the city, and one side of the street there's a house of prostitution, the other side of the street, and then it says razor's edge. Well, will I stay brahmachari or will I fall down? Will I go across the street or I stay brahmachari? I'm not talking about that kind of razor's edge. The razor's edge is this type of prayojan of Gaudiya Vaishnava is so sharp and so fine that it can cut you. It can cut your head off, or it can liberate you. It can actually cut the bindings. The bindings, the ropes that are binding us to this world. What's binding us? Yan maitu nadi griha medhi sukhami tucham. It's in the Bhagavatam. Yan maitu. It's a binding. Ridiyant, it says, Ridya grantamahu. Ridya grantam. Ridya granti. Granti. Granti means bind, to bind. So we chant 4 rounds of japa. And japa sankhya, our gurus will teach us, you chant in groups of 4. 4, 8, 12, 16, on and on like this. Why 4? Because 4 four sampradayas. No. No, it's 4 granti. 4 rounds means a granti. Granti means to bind. So really a granti, granti who? That this attraction between man and woman, in Hindi it's mitun or maitun, just like that twin lovers, mitun or whatever it's called, Gemini. And in Latin it's called mitun, or like this. Yan maitun adigri amedi sukami tucham. That this is really a grantamo, it binds the hearts. The man and woman become bound like thick ropes, just tied in ropes, so you have to cut it. So the Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami is saying in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, chapter 33, verse 39, he's saying, rid rogam. He says, kamam rid rogam. What is that heart disease? That binding in the heart, that riddhi means heart, and rogam means heart disease. It's kamam. He says, kamam rid rogam. He says, but Shraddha Anvita, if one has Shraddha, if one has faith and belief in Rasa Leela, because this is the Shruti fall at the end of Rasa Leela, After describing Krishna's Rasa-lila in 10th canto, chapter 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, the conclusion of the lila in chapter 33, verse 39, he's saying, if you hear this, Srinavat Shada Anvita, if you hear this discussion of Radha and Krishna's intimate erotic exchanges, because it's described right in the Sanskrit, Krishna was dancing with the gopis, he touched their thighs, he touched their chest, he touched their back, well, he kissed them, he embraced them. That's not Mother Yashoda and Gopal by any means. These are all aspects of eroticism and erotic exchanges, amorous exchanges. So he says, if one hears this, then he says, Param Bhakti Labhyate. First he says, Param Bhakti Labhyate Ridrogam Kamam Achirini Virunoti. He says that first, that's the razor's edge. We have material eroticism, which is so aspired for and glorified in movies and music and drama and written about and aspired for by the modern man. And then we have transcendental eroticism, the love affairs of Radha and Krishna and our own cheap imitations. So that's the razor's edge. That razor of Krishna's lila can cut you and destroy you if you're perverted or if you're not ready. Or that same katha and those same topics can cut the Ridhya Grantha Mahu. And Parabhakti will come in the heart. It says, Param Bhakti Labhyate. You will attain, you will acquire, you will get the topmost bhakti. What is it, Parabhakti? It says that you will get the Shringar Rati of Radha and Krishna will come in your heart. Because you're reading about the Shringar Rati of Radha and Krishna and Rasa Leela. And in Rasa Granth and Leela Granth says, we're hearing the reading today. So he says, Ridrogam, I can't remember the whole verse. But he's saying, this is the medicine. This is the Oshadi. This is the medicine for the disease of the heart. Disease of the heart. What is a disease of the heart in simple language? Desire for material eroticism, erotic relationship. What's the cure? Spiritual eroticism. But you have to approach it very carefully, gingerly. Holding, when one hand holds Diksha Guru and the other hand holds Shiksha Guru. Take me there. Slowly. Let me keep a blindfold on for a while. I'll keep my blindfold on for a while and keep chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then the Guru says, yes, you're ready. And he takes out the blindfold. Now look. Oh, amazing, beautiful. I want to serve. But Jiva Goswami says in Bhakti Sandarbha, when you read the erotic pastimes of Radha and Krishna, if you have what he says, because I suppose his idea is the audience reading his books is male, that's the term he uses in Sanskrit, Purusha Vikara. Purusha Vikara means if you have transformations, male transformations, which means if you read about Radha and Krishna's pastimes or hear these intimacies, Nikunjantara Vritti Navarati. Navarati, Rati means erotic love, Rati. If you hear about these things and you become disturbed, so that applies either way, man or woman, become mentally disturbed or we say agitated, then you should reverse. Back up a little bit, or not back up, but take a detour. Take the ring road. Go around Connaught Place. Take the ring road. And not that you're reading about Radha Krishna, and now it's very intimate and very erotic, and I better drop this book and start reading and Chaitanya Bhagavat. That's also a good idea. But what it's told is that you're because your interest is Radha and Krishna, and your Ishtadeva is Radha and Krishna. You have a little Radha and Krishna in your house, and you address them, and you go to see them, and you worship them. Radha Madan Mohan, or whoever you have in your heart, or life, or mind. So now you're supposed to, okay, you just take the detour. You stay with Madhurya Leela, and you stay with the book, but you just take the bypass road. And you come out of the kunj, and you skip that part, and now they're playing Chopra. Now Krishna's bedding his flute for Radharani's Veena. Then you're still with Madhurya Leela and still with the intimate exchanges where the underlying Rati or the underlying emotions is Sringar Rati or Madhurya Rati. So at all times, the Raghunuga Bhakta, whether he's a beginner or Madhyam, wherever he is on the path, he only hears about Radha and Krishna's intimate pastimes, or let's say their pastimes together, their Sambhog Leela or Viraha Leela. But if his consciousness is not sufficiently purified by Nam Bhajan, by Hari Guru Vaishnava Seva, and by lifetimes of practice and mercy of Guru and Vaishnavas, and he faces some disturbance or agitation or mental problems, then he should bypass those particular highly surcharged intimate exchanges and read about Jal Keli, water splashing, Julan. You follow? It's not that, oh yeah, I better go on Harinam, I better go outside and go on Harinam Sankirtan. That's also good. So this is the point that, because these, if you see the books on the surface value, these books are all written by sannyasis, by vairagis, by the greatest tapasvis. They have nothing to do with this world at all. They're all mantris. They have sucky sarups in the spiritual world. The six Goswamis, Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Raghunath Das, Sanatana Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Narottam Das Thakur, Baladevi Vidyabhushan. They all have the forms of ladies, spiritual ladies, and they're totally involved in the Sringar Rati and the Sringar Seva of Radha and Krishna, and Radhic pastimes of Radha and Krishna in the spiritual world, which include everything, but that's the ultimate, that's the basic underlying relationship between Radha and Krishna. But as sadhakas, they're totally detached from this world. They're totally detached. And they're showing the highest example of vairagya and detachment and compassion and love. So they wrote all these things for us, knowing that everyone that reads it is going to be a grihastha, or going to be an agitated single woman, or an agitated single man. We're all paramahamsas in this age. In Satyuga, all the men and women are paramahamsas. They're yogis and yoginis. This is way far away from Satyuga. Way far away. Look in the mirror. Look in the mirror of your heart. Look in the mirror of your mind. Yes, I'm wretched. Yes, I'm degraded. Yes, I'm fallen. But I'm crazy about Radha and Krishna. And being crazy, then you'll get out of this crazy cycle of birth and death, if you're guided properly. And that's why all these teachings are given, which I'm sharing with myself and with all of you, so we can go to our destination. But we should never have any misconception about what is the actual goal. And the goal is this and this alone. Serving the erotic pastimes of Radha and Krishna. I mean, Radharani, I mean that's like one of my students, he said, oh, I bought this book, Gita Govinda. I said, very nice. Now lock it in your almirah and keep it there for some time. Leave it there for some time. And he said, but if you go crazy, you read it, but then you read it fast. Just, and then if you can't, because if something's forbidden, that's the first thing you'll do. So if you buy a book, you'll probably be curious enough to read it, especially if someone says, don't read it. What's in here anyway? Or you can say, read at your own risk. You have it now, because we're free to read anything, we're free to speak anything, but then we're also not free when it comes to the reaction. When the reaction will come, whether we want it or not, so... You know, fools rush in where angels dare not. But nevertheless, we should never give up our pursuit. I believe everyone sitting in front of me calls themselves a worshipper of Radha and Krishna. Is that right? And that means we want to develop love for Radha and Krishna. And who are Radha and Krishna? They're the supreme erotic, transcendental erotic lovers. That's a fact. Really, I didn't know that. I thought they just sat on the swing all day and the mantri sang lullabies and stuff. And no, it's serious pastimes. And although it's all been kept very hushed up and in the background, it comes screaming forth like a full-on jazz band or something. I mean, it's, you know, trumpets and kettle drums. This is the reality. And we have to face this. Rag marg means that you're handling this topmost subject matter, or it's handling you. This subject matter is shaping our mind and shaping our consciousness and taking us right out of this world. And this is what Krishna means when he says the higher taste. This is the higher taste. Because if you're the highest taste in this material world, how can you give up the highest taste in the material world without having even higher taste? So the highest taste in the material world is man and woman dealings. So now, that's it. So there's no higher taste in the material world. So where are you going to get the higher taste? In the spiritual dimension, the spiritual world. So what is the taste that will take us out of this taste, or ruchi, or attraction, or interest, or madness that we're all in, is the taste, ruchi, and attraction, and rag. That's what rag means, attachment, lobha. Lobha, now we have lobha. Men are greedy for women. Women are greedy for men, especially in Kali Yuga. It's become our nature. So that's why Raganuga Bhakti is based on greed and rag. On this lobha, this greed. I want this. I want the real thing. I want to be part of it. So all the ecstasies, all the bliss, everything you could imagine available in some dynamic, perfect material relationship is there in the relationship of being a humble mandri of Radharani, and unlimitedly more so. Tons, like unlimitedly more so. It's inconceivable. So all these meditations, these discussions, I thought it's good to have some tattva once in a while, because now we discussed in the beginning classes, we had some format discussing the glories of Vrindavan and the mercy of Vrindavan and Radharani, and now it's all about the leelas and basic theme of the class, Sri Radha and her mandris and her sevas. But all these sevas, when the mandris are serving, mandris are in Madhura Rati. The mandris stai rati is eroticism, Madhura Rati. That's what it means. That's what Gaudiya Vaishnava means. And it means serving the erotic pastimes of Radha and Krishna in erotic settings like the kunjas. It's like, you know. So obviously many people say, don't listen to these classes, these aren't for you. There's only 10, 20, 15 people here. So you're interested, you're curious, you're coming year after year. And this is Gaudiya Vaishnavism, despite all the hoopla and fanfare and propaganda made in with other ideas. This is what it's all about. And all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas in totality, they're pursuing this in their own way. So don't be afraid. Be careful, Savadan. Don't be afraid. But follow, that's why there's teachings. There's mana shiksha, and there's a whole system of bhajan. But the actual food for the meditation, because Raghunuga Bhakti is all about meditation, and it's all about these type of meditations. These are the books. Vilapkusamanjali, Radharasudanidhi, these books are the books that take us into the realm of seva and lila as a perfected Gaudiya Vaishnava or an aspiring Gaudiya Vaishnava. Because whatever we do in our sadhana, that becomes our goal or perfection that we realize. No practice, no perfection. I want to be a strong man. What are you doing to become a strong man? Nothing. Well, if you lift weights every day and take special protein and exercise and have a coach, you can develop these muscles. They tell you how to lift different ways to build your body. So with the proper guidance, with the proper practice, with the proper diet, you will fulfill your ambition to become a strong man. So the same way, we have an ambition to become a pure lover of Radha and Krishna, Manjari Bhav. So with the proper guidance, the proper diet, the proper training. So the training is studying these books and practicing these meditations under the guidance of guru and teachers. So we have to go forward. And so many critics are there and anadikaris. And so these type of, if someone is fortunate that they have interest in all these wonderful things, that's the real blessing of guru. It's not a curse, it's a blessing. If one has been blessed by the guru, everyone has a guru. You have your gurus, and if you've been blessed by the guru, then you'll be interested to become a pure Gaudiya Vaishnava. And a pure Gaudiya Vaishnava is a servant of Radharani, Radha Dasyam. That is it. And you may do so many other things in the course of Guru Seva. You may distribute books. You may do so many things. But you should understand, what is the goal of my dharma? I'm doing so much karma and action with this body for preaching, for spreading, or whatever I'm doing, managing temple. Well, this is karma. But my dharma, my sanatana dharma, is what activities I do to send my soul to the spiritual world for my eternal seva. My eternal seva and my siddha sarup is not selling books and not managing a temple and not cooking the noon offering. And maybe cooking the morning offering for Krishna's breakfast in the underground. I mean, don't get me wrong, cooking is a good thing. That's a very good thing. That's nitya seva. Many things we do are like that. That's called sarup siddha bhakti. The activity that we're doing as a devotee or as a bhakta are same things we'll do in the spiritual world. Specifically, sarup siddha bhakti means hearing, chanting, and remembering Krishna. But subsidiary, it could include making mala and shringar and all these things, because that's also eternal seva. So that's the end of this verse 175, and by Krishna's grace, tomorrow we'll start on verse 180. Shri Radha Rasura Nidhi Ki Jai. Jai Jai Shri Radhe. Jai Jai Shri Radhe. Jai Jai Shri Radhe.